I took Mouse on a long walk and got back in as late October dusk was settling over Chicago. I got my mail out of the box and started for the stairs down to my apartment when a car pulled in to the boarding house's small gravel lot and crunched to a stop a few steps away. A petite blonde in jeans, a blue button-down shirt, and a satin white sox windbreaker slipped the car into park and left the engine running as she got out. Karen Murphy looked like anything but the head of a division of law enforcement in charge of dealing with everything that went bump in the night in the whole greater Chicago area. When trolls started mugging passers-by, when vampires left their victims dead or dying in the streets, or when someone with more magical firepower than conscience went berserk, Chicago PD's Special Investigations Department was tasked to investigate. Of course, no one seriously believed in trolls or vampires or evil sorcerers, but when something weird happened, SI was in charge of explaining to everyone how it had been only a man in a rubber mask and that there was nothing to worry about. SI had a sucky job, but the men and women who worked there weren't stupid. They were perfectly aware that there were things out there in the darkness that were beyond the scope of conventional understanding. Murphy, in particular, was determined to give the cops every edge they could get when dealing with a preternatural threat, and I was one of her best weapons. She would hire me on as a consultant when SI went up against something really dangerous or alien, and the fees I got working with SI paid the lion's share of my expenses. When Mouse saw Murphy, he made a little huffing sound of greeting and trotted over to her, his tail wagging. If I had leaned back and kept my legs straight, I could have gone skiing over the gravel, but other than that, the big dog left me with no option but to come along. Murphy knelt down at once to dig her hands into the fur behind Mouse's floppy ears, scratching vigorously. "Hey there, boy," she said, smiling. "How are you?" Mouse slobbered several doggy kisses onto her hands. Murphy said, "Yuck!" But she was laughing while she did. She pushed Mouse's muzzle gently away, rising. "Evening, Harry. Glad I caught you." "I was just getting back from my evening drag," I said. "You want to come in?" Murphy had a cute face and very blue eyes. Her golden hair was pulled back into a ponytail, and it made her look a lot younger than usual. Her expression was a careful, maybe even uncomfortable one. "I'm sorry, but I can't," she said. "I've got a plane to catch. I don't really have time." "Ah," I said, "what's up?" "I'm going out of town for a few days," she said. "I should be back sometime Monday afternoon. I was hoping I could talk you into watering my plants for me."
"Oh," I said. She wanted me to water her plants. How coy. How sexy.
"Yeah, sure, I can do that." "Thanks," she said, and offered me a key on a single steel ring. "It's the back door key." I accepted it.
"Where are you headed?"
The discomfort in her expression deepened. "Oh, out of town on a little vacation." I blinked. "I haven't had a vacation in years," she said defensively. "I've got it coming."
"Well, sure," I said. Vacation.
By yourself?" She shrugged a shoulder. "Well, that's sort of the other thing I wanted to talk to you about. I'm not expecting any trouble, but I wanted you to know where I was and with who in case I don't show up on time."
"Right, right," I said. "Doesn't hurt to be careful."
She nodded. "I'm going to Hawaii with Kincaid."
I blinked some more. I said, "You mean on a job, right?"
She shifted her weight from one hip to the other.
"No, we've gone out a few times. It's nothing serious."
"Murphy," I protested, "are you insane? That guy is major bad news." She glowered at me. "We've had this discussion before. I'm a grown-up, Dresden."
"I know," I said, "but this guy is a mercenary, a killer. He's not even completely human. You can't trust him."
"You did," she pointed out, "last year against Mavra and her scourge." I scowled. "That was different."
"Oh?" she asked.
"Yeah, I was paying him to kill things. I wasn't taking him to the beach.
Murphy arched an eyebrow at me. "You won't be safe around him," I said. "I'm not doing it to be safe," she replied. Her cheeks colored a little. "That's sort of the point." "You shouldn't go," I said. She looked up at me for a moment, frowning. Then she asked, "Why?"
"Because I don't want to see you get hurt," I said. "And because you deserve someone better than he is."
She studied my face for a moment more and then exhaled through her nose. "I'm not running off to Vegas to get married, Dresden. I work all the time, and life is going right by me. I just want to take the time to live it a little before it's too late."
She pulled a folded index card out of her pocket. "This is the hotel I'll be at, if you need to get in touch or anything."
I took the folded index card, still frowning, and full of the intuition that I had missed something. Her fingers brushed mine, but I couldn't feel it through the glove and all the scars.
"You sure you'll be all right?"
She nodded.
"I'm a big girl, Harry. I'm the one choosing where we're going. He doesn't know where. I figured he couldn't set anything up ahead of time if he had any funny business in mind."
She made a vague gesture toward the gun she carried in a shoulder holster under her jacket.
"I'll be careful, I promise."
"Yeah," I said. I didn't even try to smile at her. "For the record, this is stupid, Murph. I hope you don't get killed." Her blue eyes flashed and she frowned.
"I was sort of hoping you'd say something like, have a good time."
"Yeah," I said, "whatever, have fun. Leave me a message when you get there."
"Yes," she said. "Thanks for looking out for my plans."
"No problem," I said. She nodded at me and lingered there for a second more. Then she scratched Mouse behind the ears again, got in her car, and drove off. I watched her go, feeling worried and jealous. Really, really jealous. Holy crap. Was Thomas right after all?